Okay, we're continuing our study in Leviticus 23. This particular study on where we're actually doing a study on the gaps. Okay, last week we looked at the major gap between the first 69/7 of Daniel's prophecy. Okay, which started with the edict of Cyrus to go ahead and rebuild Jerusalem, and that those 69 weeks or 69 sevens of years closed with the Lord riding triumphantly into Jerusalem on the donkey. You remember that, okay? And so we saw that there was that big gap between the 69th and the 70th week. Primarily occupied by the dispensation of grace, okay, which has nothing to do with Israel's program. Remember, when Israel rejected Messiah, God turned to the Gentiles for this period of time. And so Israel's clock stopped at that point, okay? And so we saw that one of the major events of history, the crucifixion, is between that 69th and 70th week, as well as Israel's confirmation of her rejection of Messiah through the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, through the witness of the apostles concerning the resurrected Christ. And so God raised up the leader of their rebellion, which was Paul, formerly known as Saul, and was given this revelation of grace where God is holding off that judgment almost for now 2,000 years. Okay? And what we're going to take a look at today, and by the way, today's study is kind of a re-recording of what was done earlier because there's more information that came to light. Okay, so we're going to take a look, particularly on that gap between the rapture and the opening of the trib, which is going to form our study today. Okay, where we're going to primarily be looking at Daniel chapter 11. Verses 5 through 20 and see what's going on there. But before we head over there, to get the context now of where we are, because remember, this is all the lead up to the prophetic fulfillment of the first of the four feasts, okay, which is the Feast of Trumpets. But in order to get an appreciation of when that occurs, you have to understand what's transpired between Israel's prophecy clock hadn't been stopped at the right at the first advent, not to be started again until after the rapture has taken place. Okay, and so what we're going to take a look at now, if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Mike, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, That's a period of time, or that event which we lead off here with, again, the close of the dispensation of grace, the rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4, read verses 16 and 17.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Okay, so that's the close of the dispensation of grace, right? When we get caught up to meet the Lord in the air, the ambassadors of peace during this time of grace are recalled, and then God is going to then turn and again and fulfill this time of wrath that spoken of in the Old Testament, and we see that in chapter 5. So go there and read chapter 5, verses 1 and 2.
But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night.
Right, and in verse 3?
For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape.
Okay, so you notice the change in pronoun from we to they, right? The they are obviously the ones that are left behind, the ones that did not get caught up, okay, in chapter 4. Okay, they are going to be left to experience this time called the Day of the Lord, okay, which will, and it will, you know, climax with their destruction, okay, concerning those that were left behind. Okay, during this Day of the Lord, a lot of things are going to be taking place, particularly between the rapture and the opening of that 70th week. Okay, this is what our study is about today. Okay, and if you don't rightly divide the word, that's where you go off the deep end. Okay, because, and we're going to preface this again, none of the stuff that we're going to be looking at today has ever happened. Okay, it is all future and is yet to happen. Okay, and anyone that thinks that things are going on today, it's because they don't literally take what we're going to look at today in the scriptures. Okay, we're going to start out, and it's all there in the book of Daniel, basically. Okay, and this is what we'll formulate. We're going to be looking at pretty much snatches of three chapters: Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 8, Daniel chapter 11. All focus on the setup time between the rapture and the opening of the trib. This is what you need to understand. Okay, so let's take a look at Daniel chapter 7. Wendy, read verses 2 and 3.
Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another.
Okay. He sees four great beasts that come up out of the sea. The sea there is a literal sea. It's the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? The word Mediterranean literally means the middle of the earth. Okay? And from that region, four beasts are going to come up. Okay? These are the same four kingdoms that are spoken of in Daniel chapter 2. Okay? They came up sequentially in Daniel chapter 2. Here they come up all together at the same time in the latter times. Okay? It's the same four. Okay? And you notice that Daniel's attention is drawn to the fourth beast. You know, the first three in verses 4 through 6, you know, the lion, the bear, the leopard, these were all kingdoms that already happened in the past. Okay? Babylon, you know, Persia, and Greece. They happen in the past. They come back up again together. They get resurrected, really, again. And then this fourth one, which draws Daniel's attention to, is one that hasn't happened yet. Okay? So take a look at verse 7. What does it say?
After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns.
You see, it was diverse from all the other beasts before it. Why? Because it literally devoured and broken pieces, or stamped the residue, the feet of it. You're going to see that this is the only kingdom that really had dominion over the entire earth. Okay? This is not Rome. Okay? You need to understand that. This is not Rome. This is a future. This is the fourth future kingdom. It was future from Daniel in chapter 2. It's also future from us. Okay? That's why it's different than the other three, because it never came yet. Okay? You're going to see what the interpretation of the kingdom in verse 23, which is what you need to, which we need to read right now and see why it's different. Go ahead.
Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and it shall tread it down and break it in pieces.
Verse 23, you see how it's different? It devoured the whole earth. None other kingdom did that. Okay? That's why it's diverse. That's why it's different. Okay? No kingdom in history so far has had that total dominance over all the earth. Okay? And that this kingdom hasn't happened yet, you see in verses 24 and 25.
And the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and shall rise after them. And he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time.
Now, the reference to time, times, and dividing of 3.5 years, that's the second half of the trib. That's when the Antichrist is in full control. Okay? So, this kingdom, this fourth kingdom, is in the time of the Antichrist. If he's in the time of the Antichrist, he hasn't happened yet. All right? Only the Antichrist kingdom will totally, truly have dominion over the entire earth. Okay? And you know, devour it, as it says. Okay? And notice another thing in verse 24. You know, there's 10 horns that are spoken of as 10 kings. The Antichrist, who's the one, he arises after them. You see that? This little horn arises after them. And the one that speaks great words in verse 25 against the Most High. He comes after the 10 kings. So ask yourself the question here. Do we know who these 10 kings are? No, they haven't happened yet. Okay? It's this fourth kingdom. These 10 kings aren't even here. And if these 10 kings aren't here, for sure the Antichrist isn't here. Alright? Because he's after them. Alright? Now, as far as these 10 kings are concerned, okay, again, there's a lot of misconception about who these kings are, okay? You get an intimation of who they are, at least in a couple places in the OT. If you go to Genesis chapter 15, what do you read in verses 18 to 21? Genesis 15, the geography is really important here. Okay, Genesis chapter 15, verses 18 to 21, Wendy.
In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates.
Stop there a minute. This land is huge. Do you see it? It comes from the river of Egypt. Egypt is like on the border of the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? It goes all the way to the Euphrates River, where Iraq is, or Babylon. It's like this whole huge swath of land that we know is the Middle East, the whole Middle East. Okay? Israel's promised that land. Okay? But there's a problem. There's 10 peoples there that are associated with that land, verses 19 to 21.
The Kenites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Rephaims, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Girgashites, and the Jebusites.
Have you count all these up? How many do you get? You get 10. You see, these are like usurpers, if you will. Okay? They don't belong, it's not their land. Okay? Israel's promised the land where these people are at. Okay? These are the 10 kings. There are 10 over there. The same thing you see in Psalm 83. Come over to Psalm 83. If you look at Psalm 83, another prophecy of the last days, Read verses 4 through 8 when you get there.
Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be praised. They will.
I think you're in the wrong chapter. Psalm 83, verses 4 through 8.
They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites of Moab and the Hagarines, Gebel and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Azor also is joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot, Selah.
Yeah, you see, all these kind of things, these are all Arab countries here, okay? It has nothing to do with Europe, okay? All these 10 kings are in the Middle East, between Egypt and Iraq, okay? So, you see, it's amazing when you start to take things literally and see what's going on, you start to see where a lot of people are going off. Okay? Now, we looked at Daniel chapter 7, and we saw that that fourth kingdom is yet future. Okay? Hasn't happened yet. It's the kingdom of the Antichrist. And before the Antichrist can come, these 10 kings have to come. Right? We saw that. Now let's go look in Daniel chapter 8, next chapter over. Okay? In Daniel chapter 8, okay, let's look at verses 5 through 12. Go ahead.
And as I was considering, behold, an he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground, and the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven.
Stop there, all right? All this stuff is past. It's history. We know it. It's history, and it's you see that in the beginning of chapter 8. You know, Daniel, he sees a vision in verse 2. Shushan, the palace, that's a reference to Persia, okay, Elam, and then he says, he sees the ram, okay, the ram with two horns, okay, which is Media Persia. Media was the one that came up first, and then the horn that was higher in verse 3 that came up later was Persia, all right, that's in verse 3. Of Daniel 8. Now, the ram in verse 4 is pushing westwards, northward, southward. He's in all directions, correct? He became great, but then this goat comes out from nowhere, okay? And we're going to see that that's Greece overcomes the ram, okay? For the interpretations, I just so you know that I'm not just saying this out of the blue. If you come over to verse 20, what do you read? Verse 20.
The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia.
Kings of Media and Persia, and who's the goat in verse 21?
And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn is that between his eyes is the first king.
Okay. So you see that you have Persia and Greece here. These are the, after Babylon, that's what came up, Persia and then Greece, okay? Now, notice the time frame that Daniel's being given here in verse 19. This is very important to see that, verse 19.
And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be.
This is all about the end, okay? This is the end time, okay, when these events are going to be taking place. Now, the reason why we put emphasis on there is because you see, if you read down from verse 21 through 23, there's a distinction between what happened in the former time and what happens in the latter time, okay? Read verses 21 to 23.
And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Now that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, the four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up.
All right, now stop there a minute. Most of what is happening here is the latter time of their kingdom. You see that? The four horns that stood up for it, that was when we left off in verse 8, wasn't it? In this chapter. We saw that Alexander the Great, he's killed, and his four generals, historically, that's who took it over, the four notable ones. But then when you go from verse 8 to verse 9, you leap over thousands of years, and you're already in the time of Antichrist. Okay? In other words, you're in the latter part of the kingdom, okay, that he talks about in verse 23. All right? And go ahead and see that. Go back in the chapter, in chapter 8, and pick up the narrative in verse 9. You're going to see a sharp break.
And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land.
Stop there. A little horn, you see? That's the same little horn of chapter 7. It's the Antichrist. Okay, just like we saw it there. Alright? Just do the same thing. Alright? He waxes great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, which is Israel. Okay? Now, read more about this horn in verses 10 through 12.
And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered.
Yeah, you see, so this is the Antichrist, okay? He waxed great even to the host of heaven and cast some of the hosts of the stars to the ground. You know, this takes you to Revelation with the woman with the 12 stars, okay? The 12 stars, of course, the 12 tribes. There's a reference to Israel. Notice how the Antichrist in Revelation, doesn't he put to death, overcome the saints, right? Cast them to the ground? Okay, this is what you're reading, okay? But he has some help because a host is given to him. These are the apostate Jews, okay? Who he suckers in by his lies, okay? And he magnifies himself even to the prince of the host, that's the high priest, okay? All right? And he overthrows the sanctuary. This is what happens in the middle of the week, okay? In Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, we read that last week, okay? So all this is about the Antichrist here, okay? There's a sharp break between Alexander the Great in verse 8, and the next guy is immediately the Antichrist, okay? So the history that's going to be happening in chapter 11, which we're going to read, is history that has not yet taken place because you're going to see the same break in Daniel chapter 11, okay? An abrupt break between past and future. The end of the Antichrist, of course, is in verses 24 and 25 of chapter 8, so go read that.
and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand.
Yeah, his end comes from the Lord Jesus Christ himself, okay? He does not get broken by anybody but the Lord himself. How he gets broken, again, Daniel chapter 11 will tell you. How he this policy of craft, you know, kind of deceit, okay, where he suckers them in by peace. You see that? All this is in Daniel chapter 11. Okay, we're going to go to next. But there's a path to Antichrist, and it takes a lot of years that we're going to see. Okay, there's, in other words, when the rapture happens, don't be looking for this guy to show up anytime soon. Okay? The world is going to be thrown into political convulsions. Okay? And what you're going to be experiencing in right after the rapture is a period of time that the Gospel of Matthew speaks about, where the Lord talks about the beginning of sorrows. Okay? Come over to Matthew 24. Okay, huh? Oh, yeah, Michael, go ahead and read Matthew chapter 24, verses 6 to 8. Thanks for reminding me.
And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows.
Okay, now you see this? This time of beginning of sorrows is marked by a lot of wars, conflicts of wars, a lot of fighting going on, a lot of upheaval going on, okay? And that's what Daniel 11, verses 5 through 20 is all about. Okay, but before we get there, set the stage for why you see that it's true. You need to go to Revelation chapter 17. So Mike, go to Revelation chapter 17, and we're going to read about a woman riding a beast. Okay, Revelation chapter 17, and this is where the biggest blunder a prophecy occurs, okay, where most of the so-called experts get it wrong. Revelation chapter 17, and again, this was a failure to rightly divide. Revelation chapter 17, verses 3 to 6.
So he carried me away in his spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
Okay, now what you got to take into account here, keep your finger there because we're going to be looking at a couple things in a minute. What you need to see here is, first of all, this woman is riding upon a beast, okay? Notice what the beast has. He's got seven heads and he's got ten horns. We already read about the ten horns in Daniel, didn't we? About that those are the horns out of the fourth kingdom, right? That the kingdom of the Antichrist, okay? What we need to understand here is what these seven heads are, okay? We haven't looked at that yet, okay? And we'll get to that in a minute. But the woman, you know, she's decked out, isn't she? She's decked out in all kinds of riches, okay? And we need to understand who this woman is too, riding the beast. Okay? And she's committed fornication in verse 5. She's like, her name is has a mystery associated with it. It's called Babylon the Great. And its interpretation is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Okay? Babylon, according to, go way back to Genesis, was a fountainhead of idolatry. That's where it all began. Okay? With Nimrod. Okay? Now, what you see is that this woman, she's drunken with the blood of the saints, okay, the martyrs of Jesus, as it says. You know, what did the Lord describe Jerusalem as in Matthew 23? Okay, go with Michael, go to Matthew 23. Verses 37 to 39.
O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and would not, and ye would not. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord.
You see, this woman, drunken with the blood of the saints, she was sent, the Lord describes her in Jerusalem as being one who was sent the prophets, who shed the blood of the prophets, right? All that was sent to her. And you see the same thing in Revelation chapter 11. Go here, Revelation chapter 11. The reason why this woman isn't named is, the answer is Revelation 11. Revelation 11, verse 8.
And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified.
It's Israel. It's Jerusalem. You see this? This is where the events are happening. This is where it's taking place, and the Lord does not even dignify by calling it by his name, because it's been totally usurped by the Antichrist. He's going to be sitting in that very temple proclaiming himself to be God. Okay? Most of Israel is going to be worshiping him. Okay? It's apostate Israel is riding the beast, and this beast is going to, she's going to be very rich by this beast. Okay? He's a false Messiah. He's not called false for you know, he's false for a reason, okay? He's going to appeal as the one that solves our problems. And we're going to see that in Daniel 11, okay? But now, before we do, one more thing before we get to Daniel 11, Michael, go back to Revelation 17 and see that we're dealing with what these seven kings are. Revelation 17, verses 9 and 10.
And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space.
Okay, you see this? These seven heads, it's not the seven hills of Rome, or they look like seven mounts. These mounts are often spoken of as kings in the Old Testament, and here they're interpreted as seven kings. You see that? And then he says, five are fallen, one is, and one's yet to come. Now, when you look at Daniel 11, you're going to see five fallen kings between verses 5 and 20. Okay? We're going to take a look at that in a minute. The sixth king is the one who's reigning at the point of this vision. Okay? That's the Antichrist. Okay? He gets killed. A seventh takes his place for about 3.5 days while he's dead. Okay? And then he gets resurrected and is the eighth king, because he's counted twice, because it's not consecutive in terms of his reign. Okay? That's what you see in verse 8 of Revelation 17. So, there's a path to Antichrist, is what I'm saying here. Okay? And Daniel 11, verses 5 through 20, is the path that takes place between the rapture and the opening of the trib. We're going to read about the beginning of sorrows. We're going to read about these wars, okay, in verses 5 through 20 of Daniel 11. And you'll count five kings that get killed, and the sixth one, the vile guy, in verse 21, is Antichrist. And from verse 21 to the end of the chapter 11 is the whole career of Antichrist. Okay, so from Daniel chapter 11, let's pick up the narrative, Wendy. Start by reading, let me get there myself. Start by reading verse 1. Read verses 1 through 4.
Also I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I, stood to confirm and to strengthen him. And now will I show thee the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he shall stir up all the realm of Grecia. And a mighty king shall stand up that shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And when he shall stand up, his kingdom shall be broken and shall be divided toward the four winds of heaven and not to his posterity, nor according to his dominion which he ruled. For his kingdom shall be plucked up even for others beside thee, those.
Okay, now stop there. Verses 1 through 4 is history. Okay? It's just like it read in Daniel chapter 8. You had Persia, the ram, right? Then Alexander the Great comes, conquers them, right? And then the four winds here, otherwise known as the four notable ones, back in Daniel chapter 8, four generals, okay? And they take up the kingdom. But notice the end of verse 4 in Daniel 11. It says, is it plucked up even for others besides those? You see, now we're coming into the future again. We leave the four that are in history, and we're now again in the latter time, in verse 5. From verse 5 to verse 20 is all future. This is the beginning of sorrows. This is the war, rumors of wars that's going on. And it's between two kings, the king of the north and the king of the south. Now, before we get to look at the details here, think about this a minute. You remember the vision in Daniel chapter 2. You had the head of gold, which was Babylon. You had the arms and chest of silver, which was Media Persia. You had the belly and the thighs, which was Greece, right? Now, the thighs starts out, that's when you start with the king of the north and the south, okay? Out of the four kings, two of them get the king of the north and the king of the south become predominant, okay? And the warfare is between the two of them, okay? The warfare is between the two of them, and they're fighting over the land that's between them, okay? Which is Israel. Okay? Come over to Isaiah chapter 19. Okay? And look at the geography here. Isaiah chapter 19, verses 23 to 25.
In that day there shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt, and with Assyria even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless. Blessed be Egypt, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance.
Now that's described in millennium. You see, where there'll finally be peace between that whole region there, okay? But until Messiah returns, it's conflict. And it's king of the north, the Assyrian, and Egypt. You see that? They're fighting between Palestine, that's between them, Okay? This is the warfare from verse 5 through verse 20 in Daniel chapter 11. So now let's start identifying the kings. There's like, remember, five are fallen, one is. All right? 3 verses 5 and 6.
And the king of the south shall be strong, and one of his princes. And he shall be strong above him, and have dominion. The dominion shall be a great dominion. And in the end of years they shall join themselves together, for the king's daughter of the south shall come to the king of the north to make an agreement, but shall not retain the power of the arm, neither shall he stand, nor his arm, but she shall be given up, and they that brought her, and he that begat her, and he that strengthened her in these times.
Okay, so you have the king of the north and the king of the south in verse 6. This is the first king of the north and the first king of the south, okay? You got two kings here, all right? And what happens in verse 7 through 9?
But out of a branch of her roots shall one stand up in his estate, which shall come with an army, and shall enter into the fortress of the king of the north, and shall deal against them, and shall prevail, and shall also carry captives into Egypt their gods, with their princes, and with their precious vessels of silver and of gold, and he shall continue more years than the king of the north. So the king of the south shall come into his kingdom and shall return into his own land.
Okay, so here you have the second king of the south, right? From verses 7 to 9. You got three kings already, right? Okay, now let's read in verse 10. Through verse 19.
But his sons shall be stirred up and shall assemble a multitude of great forces, and one shall certainly come and overflow and pass through. Then shall he return and be stirred up even to his fortress.
Okay, just stop there. This is the second king of the north that we're reading about in verse 10, all right? All right, he goes all the way through verse 19. You don't have to read all these. There's warfare back and forth, okay, between the two things. And when you get to verse 19, okay, this guy dies, the second king of the north. He turns his face towards the fort of his own land. He stumbles and falls. He's not found, right? In verse 20, you have the fourth king of the north, or rather the third king of the north stands up, right? Verse 20. Because it says, then shall stand up in his estate. In other words, the one that died in verse 19. And he replaces him. He's a raiser of taxes. And he only survives a few days. Okay? And then he's gone. All right? Not in battle or anything else. He just dies. All right? So how many kings is that now? You have three kings of the north and you have two kings of the south, right? Five are fallen. Verse 21, you come to the sixth king, okay? And in his estate, in other words, the king of the north state, verse 20, shall stand up what? A vile person. This is Antichrist, okay? He's the fourth king of the north here, okay? And when he dies in the middle of the tribulation week, the third king of the south reigns for 3.5 days. Okay, and then he gets resurrected, and that's the end. Okay, so what you see how Revelation 17 and Daniel 11 go together. You get the whole history, what happens after the rapture, and when you look at these verses from verse 5 through verse 20, you know, a lot of times you read about phrases like, after a certain number of years, you read about different generations, people rising up out of the roots of this one, people rising up out of the sons of this one, right? It's all through verses 5 through 20, okay? So a lot of, you know, there's going to be a lot of history here. There's yet future to be unfolded, and the rapture will cause tremendous chaos, okay? And the world's going to be plunged into political convulsions for years, Okay? And out of these ashes are going to be this war rivalry between the king of the north and the king of the south. And Antichrist comes from that warfare. Okay? And you know, that's why I say, when you think of it, when you read about all this, okay, that, you know, if you understand right the vision and how this dispensation occupies such a, you know, all this time between the 6th, 9th, and 70th week, and then when the rapture happens, the 70th week doesn't happen right away. It doesn't happen for years. Because it's all this time of beginning of sorrows, and this detailed history in Daniel chapter 11 is going to be understood by those who are living then. Okay? And they will have the wisdom and understand who this guy finally is that arrives years later. Okay? And so, and the Antichrist, again, he's known repeatedly as what? The Assyrian. Okay? Come over to Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 through 7. Isaiah chapter 10, verses 5 through 7.
O Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in the hand is mine indignation. I will send him against a hypocritical nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him a charge, to take the spoil and to take the prey, and to tread them down like the mire of the streets.
Verse 7.
Howbeit he meaneth not so, neither doth his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off nations, not a few.
Yeah, you see, he's only fulfilling the Lord's purposes here, okay? And if you go down to Isaiah 14, verses 24 to 26, you see again what happens at the end.
And my hand hath found as a nest the riches of the people, and as one gathereth eggs that are left, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing, or opened the mouth, or peeped.
Are you looking at Isaiah 14? You see that? You need to look at the chapter. No, I'm sorry. Isaiah 14, verses 24 to 26.
And the Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and his burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations.
Yeah, you see, so this Assyrian is going to be broken by the Lord himself in his own land, in Israel, in the Lord's land. You see that? Okay? Remember how it said in Daniel chapter 8 that he was broken without hand? Okay? And, you know, how this guy gets broken in the land of Israel. Again, it's if you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, what do you read? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Oh, Michael, I'm sorry. go ahead and read 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8.
So being affectionately desirous of you.
Sorry, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. I'm getting confused now. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8.
And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming.
See, the Lord's going to destroy him what? With the spirit of his mouth, brightness of his coming. How does that happen? That's Isaiah 30, verses 30, 31, direct quote. Isaiah 30, verses 30 and 31.
And the Lord shall cause his glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of his arm, with the indignation of his anger, and with the flame of a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod.
Yeah, you see that? The voice of the Lord, the spirit of his mouth, right, beats down this Assyrian. It's the Antichrist, okay? It gets consumed again as flaming fire there, you see, okay? So, the reason why, you look at all these things, and you have to understand one thing. This person who is the ultimate betrayer of the Lord's people, okay, he is. You have to understand that. And you see that in Isaiah 55, verses 20 and 21. He's going to be to Israel in the latter day what Judas was to the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? A trusted friend and a betrayer. Isaiah 55, verses 20 and 21. The Psalm 55, verses 20 and 21. We have two more passages and then we're done. Psalm 55, verses 20 and 21.
He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. The words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords.
Yeah, he came across as a peace guy, but he really had war in his heart. He's a betrayer, but he overthrows his covenant, doesn't he? This is Daniel 9:27, right? Now, this is what Israel was going to put their trust in. The Lord told them in Isaiah 18, you're going to trust in the covenant of lies. Those lies are going to be, they're going to overtake you. Okay? And you see, you know that woman that was sitting on that beast, all decked out in riches? Daniel 11 tells you that the Antichrist made her rich. And that's where we close. Daniel 11, verses 21 to 24. Daniel 11, verses 21 to 24.
And in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flattery. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overflown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey, and spoil, and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the stronghold, even for a time.
Okay. Now, what you see, notice here, that this person comes in peaceably in verse 21. Remember how we read in Daniel chapter 8 that he goes peaceably, by peace? He destroys many? This is it. You see? And the arms of a flood. Remember the arms that we saw in the Daniel chapter 8 where he's given a host to help him, these apostate Jews, this is it, okay? Because he suckers them in, okay? He makes a league with them in verse 23. They make a league with him. This is Isaiah 18, the covenant of lies, okay? Make a league with him. And he works deceitfully. See, it's all deceit. Okay, should come up, he becomes strong, and what does he do? He does something completely different than his fathers does. His father, the fathers, when you read verses 5 through 20, they just came in and tore up the land, okay? He doesn't do that. What does he do? He shares the scatter, he shares the prey and the spoil with Israel, okay, with those that he's deceived. That's how she's made rich, okay? He does it completely different. That's how he suckers her in. He is a false messiah. And they're going to believe him. Because he's going to be seemingly conquering their enemies. Remember how three of those kings are going to be subdued? They're going to be going against Israel. He's going to wipe them out. Okay? Their messiah is here. You see that? Deceit. Okay? All this is going to take time. And this is what's going to happen after the rapture. There's going to be a time of sorrows, wars, rumors of wars. And out of those things comes this man of peace. And what are they going to say? They're going to finally say what in First Thessalonians? They got peace, peace, everything's peace, and all of a sudden destruction. You see? He betrays him in the middle of the week. Okay? This is the scenario here leading up to what we're ultimately going to see next week when I take a look at two other gaps. There's a gap between the two halves of the trib. Okay? Where he goes from being the friend to the foe, the prosecutor all changed in a period of 30 days. Okay, you see that next week. And there's also a gap between the end of the 70th week and the first ball feast, which is where we ultimately want to go, right? And that's going to be 2 weeks from, next week as well. We'll see that. Okay? So a lot of details here. I know it's a lot. But, go over these things, listen to it again, look at the notes again, okay? And you'll be thankful that you took the time to see that, because you will not be deceived by all the would-be prophecy teachers that abound today, because they don't know the dispensation in which they're living, okay? And that knows what you say?